Alright, so let's talk about this track, Behind Enemy Lines, with Busta Rhymes on it. How did you come into contact with Busta Rhymes and do a track on this mixtape?
I really kept this record for Snoop Dogg during the time of Joyce did, during the time of a few other records, and at the time, I guess Snoop wasn't on it at the time. So a few people had this song in their hand. When Snoop passed on it, which people passed on, it's all right. It's only music, you know what I'm saying? Snoop, I gave it to Snoop. You know, Snoop kind of do it. He'll say it's dope, and it is dope, but it probably just ain't for him, like most artists will say.
Yeah.
So we put it in Ice Cube's hand, and Ice Cube won. But I didn't know that my friend Jay Black, which wrote and sang on the hook, had put it in Busta's hand. You know, Busta wanted it. He was doing the big band at the time, but it didn't make the record, so. Once again, I got it, you know, I just got a hook on it in a verse, just something real simple, you know, just to show people, you know, Busta is out here still, you know, busting. He's still a timeless MC,
totally.
You know what I'm saying? He's one of the best, one of the inventors of this, you know what I'm saying? So I wanted that. Shouts out to Busta, and he killed it. He killed it. Like, a lot of people haven't heard Busta Rhymes like this on this.
Really?
Yeah.
Ever?
Ever.
Wow.
Well, it's definitely some records, but it's definitely some. You know, with Jay Black on the hook, the beat is crazy, and, you know, it's a fun record. It's gangsters, but it's cool.
And then that's got to be a good compliment, too, to have Busta Rhymes and Ice Cube fighting over your record.
Yeah, you know.
Because it's getting better than that.
Nah, man.
Okay, so let's talk about the track you did. It's a solo jazz track called Lock High. High Tech, I guess, produced this one, but it's you on the saxophone.
Yeah, man.
Right. Tell us about your inspiration for that one.
Me and my brother, now Marlon Williams, man, I was doing a jazz record a year ago or somewhere, 2 years ago, I don't remember when. I was going to do a jazz record. My concept with the jazz record, because, you know, me being a saxophonist, it was going to be different. Like, I had High Tech on it, Battle Cat on it. You know what I'm saying? I was playing a sax or everything, just getting records done with him, and I got sidetracked. I don't know. You know, this game is so scary with different. They couldn't take a dude with 501s and a white t-shirt playing the saxophone over High Tech records. So
I think it sounds tight to me, at least.
They shut me down. Mark. You know. you know, and I named it Lock High because that's the school I graduated from. That's the school I learned about 80% about life and music at. You know, Reggie Andrews, which is the musical director, which is like my godfather, really looked out for me, and I want to do a song in dedication to that, you know what I'm saying, to Lock High, because how I play is how I feel, and when I close my eyes and hear that song, it puts me back to me posting up at Lock High School, walking down to that music room, you know, Reggie Andrews, the one that let me borrow that MPC 60, man, to get my together, you know what I'm saying, you know, and then me being from the west side, going to school on the east side was a whole different culture shock, so. That song is the best thing. It's a culture shock. It's a musical shock. It's a shock. It just shocks you. You know, because a lot of people haven't really heard me play a saxophone. Especially with High Tech. I mean, golly, is that weird or what? But it's crazy.
That's a good combination to me. Yeah, so you'd say this one's kind of like a tribute to your days in high school. Looking back on your high school days, trying to recapture.
Looking back to high school, but also looking back on one of the most, like, those years. High school years was like some of the most important years of my life. Like, I didn't do the regular high school thing. I was always practicing. I used to ditch school and catch the bus to UCLA to sit on their music classes to learn more about theory. You know what I'm saying? You know, I used to ditch school to go practicing. I didn't really ditch school to hang out that much. I ditched school to always practice on that saxophone on that drum machine. So this is like paying tribute to the school, paying tribute to Reggie Andrews, paying tribute to God. Like, thank you for all that. I'm, you know, I don't have much to give you, but I could give you this song.
Last track on the album is going to be Be Thankful. We heard it on the Big Squeeze. It's a really, really nice kind of, to me, it was kind of like a sentimental type of, soulful type of track.
Very sentimental.
Definitely tell us all about that.
I cut that record. I did the beat in my old bedroom at my mama's house. And I was going through a lot. I had just came out of crazy relationship. We was both crazy relationship. And my head was all kind of crazy. So my music was a reflection of that time right there. You know, and the music to Be Thankful kind of told me what to rap about on that record. You know what I'm saying? The music was already with the friends. I sampled the drums from Jay Dilla. I sampled the drums from Not the Dawnless album, from The Shining.
Mm-hmm.
The instrumental The Shining album, I sampled the drums. And I was listening to Friends earlier that day, that boom, cat, boom, 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 cat, boom, cat, boom, boom, cat, Friends, boom, 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 boom. You know what I'm saying, Marlon? Doo, 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 doo. I sampled the drums that day, we played the pattern, boom, sampled the Jay Dilla drums, good looking, rest in peace, boom, cat, boom, 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 sampled the drums, I did that, and I broke out my water suit, you know, did that with the mini Moog. And just, you know, I got down and I sat with it for a minute. I called Problem. Problem helped pin a lot of that right there. I called Problem and I told him what I was going through. I said, yo, this is what I need to say. You know what I'm saying? You know, we pretty much pinned that together. Kind of wrote that up. But Problem did the whole draft for that record right there. I just told him, yo, I need to go through this. This is what I need to do. And that's what Problem is. Problem is like how Dre had DLC and Snoop, that's what Problem is. You know what I'm saying? Problem
is on that level for you guys?
Oh, yeah, for me.
For writing?
For my whole circle, man.
Yeah.
You know, we actually been writing pop records for different pop artists. That's a whole...
Really?
You know, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man. We got to... It's other... You know, it's other ways to make a living out here. And it's all good music only getting better. But Problem, on that record, you know, Problem really did his thing on that record. You know, he did his thing. I brought it to life. We did the vocals. I did the vocals at. We used to have a studio. Snoop used to have a studio on Selma and Wilcox, at the corner, across from the post office. That's where we did a lot of these records. A lot of blue carpet down there too. But we did that record late at night, man. Chuck came through. Chuck, that's Uncle Chuck. He just happened to fall through. I said, I need you to sing on this hook. He had never sung on nothing that we did. None anybody did really. He always was like the guitar player, the bass player, the piano player, but the homie, but he could sing, man, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
He came in there, and he was feeling what I was saying, because everybody on that record related to that record. We all had a story to pull from that record, you know what I'm saying? And Chuck came by and killed it. You know, Jay Black came through later on. I moved up one of my verses and put an eight-bar thing for Jay Black. Hit the hood, block the block. He is moving, keep shit moving, express some love and be thankful. So we did it like that at Snoop's, man. It was so big. Then Snoop heard it and was like, Snoop and Battle Cat heard it. It was like, you need to do something bigger with this. You know what I'm saying?
So the whole thing was done. And then you...
It was done. It was done. I was done. Fade out everything. It was done. Snoop said, you need to do something bigger, man. You need to get more... Show more the live element. Like, this is your song. You busting on it. The pen is right. The hook, everything is right. The music is driving. So, I start putting the piece together. Once again, I call my brother Marlon Williams, come through with the guitar. He just kicked it off with a guitar. And I thought I was done. But then 2 weeks later, we was working on my record. We went over to a studio called Westlake, which is on Santa Monica. We did it there, a little small studio room, and we was feeling it, but it still wasn't in. So I think we came with the idea, like, you know, let's play the music out, tears, get back on the Fender Rolls, get the mini Moog out, get the strings out, let's get it popping. We did all that. And then I sat back and I said, you know what this record needs? A choir and my mother. So we put together a little 20-piece choir piece. we put the choir part on it. My mom came through next day, sang the lead at the end of the record. Then we was like, I picked up my saxophone, and man, it was spiritual that night, man. God was moving everything that night. It was just moving. And that's the last song. And, you know, be thankful. That's what it's about. Be thankful. Not just to me, but to everybody. We should all be thankful. You know, I told, that record is my life story. There's no lie on that record. Every last, you know, some people try to make a little extra out, a little bit.
Yeah.
That record is the truth. That record actually made me go back and redo my whole record, because a lot of things... We was adding little extras on it, because that's what entertainers do. But I said, you know what? I want to be the first one in my life to do a record about truth. So if it ain't all the way to truth, like, yeah, I used to want to gang bang. I used to dress like one and hang with them. But when every time I would start shooting, I'd be scared, man, because I didn't want to die. I had something to live for. You know, I had music. I had a saxophone, and I had 2 11 pens. So I wanted to get that across, because there's a lot of people like me that grew up in neighborhoods. And that's surrounded by their homeboys, and they fall victim to that thing. You know, I got a homie right now doing life in jail for killing somebody but not wanting to pull the trigger but wanting to impress other people. And now he's in jail, you know. And they call that being a killer from the hood. That's the only stripe you got. You can't see your family, you can't see your kids, but you get the mark as being an OG killer nigga from the hood. And I don't think that's fly. It's all about music and having people live, man. Nobody wants to see nobody die. Don't nobody want to get hit. Nobody want to get hurt. I don't care how tough you are. You can be the biggest from any hood in LA. You do not want to get hit in the face. You damn sure don't want to get shot in the head. You know what I'm saying? So that's what that's about. But I'm thankful that people can hear that and somebody can relate. I've been getting great responses from that song. And, you know, that song is for everybody, not just for me. That song is for everybody. And what's up, Mima? You on the front. I sampled you. And didn't even clear you.
Tell us about this No Violence track with Corrupt. Damn.
Man, this is next to Coast to Coast. This is my second favorite record on here. Not second like it's below Coast to Coast. It's equally as great as Coast to Coast. You know, I think the music speaks for itself. I think Corrupt on here is like, he's like, it's just like, wow. Like, you know, when you as great as he is, when you was young, when you was great at, as young as he was, you know, that greatness doesn't go anywhere. But it takes that music to bring it out to people. It takes that producer. You know, then once you have that producer and all the proper keys are in the right ignition and ready to roll off, you know, I'm on that drum machine and Corrupt pick up that sidekick and writes those rhymes. It's over, dude. It's over. Like, over. Like, Corrupt is just, I don't know, man. It's scary how somebody could be that great. I'm a fan.
Completely destroys that track.
I'm a fan. You've heard it?
Yeah. He's sitting like, that reminded me of like New York or something like that from way back.
But it just reminded of somebody that cares about the rhyme, the pen before anything in life. Like, you know, like, to me, he treats that particular record like it's one of his kids. Like, he's careful, he's potent. You know, when you have kids, you care about them kids, you hug them, you love them. That's what it sounds like he's doing with that ink pen. And it's just so lethal. Lyrics with No Violence, I mean, man, Poltergeist on call. He's just crazy. God, that's all I got to say about that one.
Is there anything else you want to say to everyone in WCNN?
Yep. Keep pushing good music. You know, I'm happy that as a fan of music, a student of the music, I'm happy that people are really pushing that hardcore music line. Maestro is pushing the music line. Glass and Malone is definitely pushing the line. Bishop Lamont is pushing. You know. That's a lot of cash. That's for High Dollar, man. High Dollar is pushing. High Dollar is pushing. He's making it a good look for everybody over here. He came to my house a few weeks ago with a dear friend of mine, Big D, like my uncle. You know what I'm saying? And he got a lot of sense, man. He's a smart dude. He's a very smart dude. And he's a straight up and down dude. Like, I like High Dollar a lot. He's pushing, though, man. He's pushing crazy. His video, I just saw it on 106 in Park. So everybody vote for High Dollar video, man. Vote. Let's support our own. You know, even if you don't like it, just vote for it. He's one of ours. You know what I'm saying?
I've done that before.
You know,
the West Coast.
Yeah, I mean, he cats like that make it easier for us to get a look out here, because then they look at us again. You know what I'm saying? High Dollar's doing it, man. He's sounding good. Everything. Glass and Malone, Mac 10, and Cash Money, that's big. That, you know, that's huge. You know, start supporting Glasses, man. Bishop Lamont, support whatever he do. You know, he's with the king. He's with Dr. Dre. You know what I'm saying? You know, Maestro, just start supporting him. I'm just happy to see people pushing music in a good motion. It's going to where I don't think we're going backwards. I think we're bubbling going forward. Problem, you know, these cats are going forward. Roscoe. You know, these cats are really going forward, man. The Hustle Boys, be looking out for them. Snoop's group, the Hustle Boys. Four Zone, Western Union. You know what I'm saying? Be looking out for them. Chris Starr, he's around. You know what I'm saying? Chilling on the vocals, excellent singer. You know, it's like, just keep grinding, man, and keep staying in tune with the Dub CNN. Peace. Okay. God bless. Later.